Hey, welcome back to Turnbuckle Trash. I'm Dave Denton. Coming up on this edition of The Trash, we're going to talk to Chris on the Mat, Chris Evans in North Carolina. Chris is going to talk about the debacle that was that super piece of garbage in Saudi Arabia. Plus, we'll be talking to Zane. Zane went to a WWE event in Salt Lake City. We'll talk about some independent news and more. It's all coming up on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash. But before we get into the trash, got to give a little shout out to The Miz. On the 11th of June, he did a great promo on SmackDown Live about Shane McMahon. Here is the awesome one himself, The Miz.
And he is the best in the world. Wait. There's a smudge. And these aren't prescriptions, so I kind of got to get this right. He is the pest of the world. Does that sound right? So you think it's pest of the world? Okay. Well then, let me do this right. He is the pest of the world, Shane McMahon.
Here comes the money.
The Miz has a lot of gall.
Hey, is this following the script, Corey? Doing his best.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones. We'll grind you into putty. We'll turn your faces off.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Turnbuckle Trash, we're joined by the man that's always on the road. It is Zane Peterson. We call him Zane O'Mac. How you doing, Zane?
Doctor.
Uh-huh.
Doctor.
Yeah, huh?
Do you have any news for me?
Well, I got a bad case of something. I need to go to the doctor for it. No.
You got a bad... Do you have the rest... Is there such thing as the wrestling blues? Well, we don't... You're not allowed to call it wrestling, are you?
No.
There's such thing as the sports entertainment blues?
There is the... I'll tell you this. On Monday Night Raw last night, Daniel Bryan was, you know, part of the wild card, and he actually said that he was a better wrestler than Seth Rollins. And I about... Oh, I wonder what Vince thought about that.
And guess what else?
What else?
Oh, wait. That's coming later. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Tell me what you got. I'll tell you later.
Are you excited about this or what?
So, the greatest showdown or what?
The Super Showdown in Saudi Arabia.
So, how come it was... Why did they change it to Super Showdown? I thought that was Australia.
Well, they did that in Australia. Then they did the greatest Royal Rumble. And then they did a showdown also last year. They've actually had, I think this is their third event in Saudi Arabia, and all three of them have been just, I mean, awful, just awful.
Just terrible.
Yeah, just terrible. I mean, that match between Goldberg and The Undertaker was as bad a professional wrestling match as you've ever wanted to see. And everybody was...
But they had 137.5 man battle royale that meant absolutely nothing.
That was very bad, too. But, you know, it was kind of cool. Battle royale was cool when the winner was an NXT star from Saudi Arabia, and the crowd went crazy for that. You know, and you got to feel good for the home crowd to have their hometown guy do good. And that was kind of a good moment. But the rest of it, I mean, there was just too many people inside that ring to keep up with all the action. And you know, and I know those things are dangerous because you don't know who's coming from what direction. So,
well, you know, a slip or a trip and you lose your footing, or, you know, there's not a lot of room to work. And,
right.
You know, somebody tries to do a high spot, they're not in the right place. Or,
yeah. It happens dangerous. All the time. Those things are fairly dangerous.
Let's talk about the worst match of the night. Two veterans, WCW versus WWE, a match that we've all been waiting for our entire lives.
First time ever in a WWE ring, The Undertaker against Goldberg.
Is it Goldberg or Goldberg?
It was just bad. I mean, both of them looked in tremendous shape. I mean, Goldberg, his shoulders were so broad. Didn't look like there was an ounce of fat on him. I don't know if it was jet lag, disinterest, the heat. It was bad. I mean, it just didn't do anything.
So would Michael Jackson say, "It's bad. It's bad. You know it."
It's really, really bad. Yeah.
Does Bill Goldberg still do that thing where he bashes the locker in with his head before he comes out to the ring?
He did have a spot on his forehead, and that led to a lot of speculation that when he hit the ring post, that was why he started bleeding like he did. Some speculation was that that's where he got his concussion. My personal thought is the botched tombstone, when his neck twisted completely the wrong way. Bill did say that he was knocked out at one point in the match, but he didn't say at what spot.
I don't know. I guess you could criticize it in many different ways, but in the end, it's over.
Yeah, it's over. And hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's shift gears a little bit. It's what I want to talk about. Let's go into what happened to me Sunday.
Okay. Now, let's set this up. The WWE was in Salt Lake City, Utah, or West Valley City, Utah, at the Maverick Center.
Yeah. Yeah. So I get this text message from a friend of mine, and he's like, "Hey, are you going to go to WWE? Interested in going to WWE on Sunday?" And I was like, "I don't know. You know, I got to go to work, this or that." And he sends me back, and he says, "Or what if they're free tickets and they're really, really, really good?" And I was like, "Well, then I'd consider it." And he's like, "I need your email, or I need your mailing address." And all of a sudden, he didn't tell me that they were second row ringside. He said they were good tickets.
Yeah.
You know, I can't, that spoils you. I don't ever want to go to an event and sit in the bleachers again.
Well, you know, the WWE did some advertising with the radio stations I worked with, and I was offered these tickets, and I was hoping to be able to come down, but I just couldn't, and I thought, hey, I'll just give them to Zane. So I'm glad you had a good time. Yeah.
It was fun. It was a late night, and I did have to work the next day, so I've been trying to recover from that. I was so tired yesterday.
Uh-huh.
We got home at 1 in the morning.
Oof, man. Oof.
But okay, so here's what I was that leads me into these paradigms or whatever. We'll get all scientific and stuff. So one of the matches for the WWE Live that I saw was Matt Hardy versus Mustafa Ali.
Mm-hmm.
And that honestly was the best, one of my favorite matches of the night. Matt Hardy is, it's funny because you see him walking down the entranceway and you're like, hellfire, that guy can barely walk.
I know.
But when he gets in the ring, it's like it all goes away.
Huh.
And he just, I mean, he's in his, well, he's got to be in his late 40s, right?
I think he's in his 40s, if maybe mid-40s or something.
Mid-40s? You wouldn't have guessed it. I mean, it was a good match, great match, but I'll bet you only I'll bet you not even a third of the crowd knew who Matt Hardy even was.
Oh, no.
I mean, everybody was cheering for Mustafa Ali, and I'm over there going, do these guys, you know, and I'm like, you know, Matt Hardy, 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 you know, and it wasn't heel versus face or anything like that. It was just kind of, I don't know, it was just a match, I guess.
Yeah.
It was a good quality match. It really was. But everybody was cheering for Mustafa Ali. You know, I'd say a large majority of the crowd was younger kids and parents and stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, what makes me think of that is like, when you talk about The Undertaker and Goldberg and, you know, these, how long can these guys headline for, Dave? I guess that's the bottom line is what I'm trying to get to in a roundabout way is how the hell long are these guys going to headline for?
That's a good question, man. As long as people want to see them, I would guess. I mean, you've got some people that are still doing events in their 60s and 70s, and they're like the big draw for some of these independent shows. Jerry Lawler, Bill Dundee, you know, back in Tennessee. You still have some of the older competitors that are out there. In Ring of Honor, one of the Rougeos, or if you remember the Rougeo brothers, now goes by PCO. And yeah, that's him, man. He's a big old honking dude, and he gets out there. I think what it can show you is if you study the science of professional wrestling and you change your set, what you can do, your skill set, you can go a long time.
Take the physical aspect out of it, right? You know, because like you said earlier, that Bill Goldberg and The Undertaker, I mean, dude, Taker's is he 62 or 60 or?
I'm not exactly sure what his age, but he's been around for a while, yeah.
Dude, the guy's probably in the best muscular muscle shape of his life. I mean,
yeah.
I've never seen him. I mean, you know, when he takes off his shirt, his chest and his arms are just bigger than your thigh.
Uh huh.
And that's a big thigh.
That's a big thigh,
boy.
That's a big thigh.
And I mean, Undertaker's a great shape. Goldberg's great shape. But are people interested in it anymore? Does anybody care?
Evidently, they do, man. I mean, you look at the excitement level of when they were talking about Goldberg and The Undertaker, the social media set was going crazy, and then the disappointment set in after the match. And I mean, here it is, what, a week and a half after the event, and people are still debating this on social media right now.
Yeah.
But I'll say this, and I said it to Chris, that show in Saudi Arabia is not meant to please us. It's not meant to please Dave or Zane or Chris. It's meant to please that Saudi prince who pays millions of dollars to the WWE to put this on.
Now, he pays millions of dollars but can't have it in an arena with air conditioning, so it's like 114 degrees in the ring.
Yeah.
You know?
Agreed. And when you get into a situation like they were in, you got to think that in the 90s, that's got to be so stuffy with all those people in there.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So I guess, so is it the point of the Saudi stuff? Is it just a money grab then?
That's what I think. I mean, two of the biggest matches there, and you had a WWE championship match on there, but the two biggest matches of the night as far as I think what people were really wanting to see, now I'm just speaking from what I can see on the internet, is they were wanting to see Randy Orton and Triple H, which was a decent match, and Bill Goldberg against The Undertaker. And that's what everyone was talking about. They weren't talking about the match between Dolph and Kofi Kingston, which was fun. It was a fun match. I enjoyed it.
Let's go. So speaking of Dolph, he was there on Sunday.
Oh, he was?
Yeah. He is so fun to watch, dude.
Yeah, he is. He's awesome.
It was Dolph Ziggler, Kevin Owens, and Kofi Kingston in a triple threat.
Whoa, that would have been fun.
It was a good match. It was a fun match. It wasn't as much wrestling as Matt Hardy and Mustafa, but mm-hmm. It was a good match. Liv Morgan and Sonya Deville took on Asuka and what's her name? Yeah, the other Oriental gal.
Yeah, I think it was because sent me a picture of it. And I could just see her in the background. I couldn't quite make it out. I love Asuka though. Oh, yeah, I just think Asuka's
she was
so
fun.
Good.
She was fun. Sonya Deville's pretty good live. Yes, she puts on a good show. And Liv Morgan was standing ringside right in front of me and.
You like that?
That was a nice view.
I bet it was.
Very nice view.
Yeah, very
of the
nice
ring,
view.
Of course.
Yeah,
of the ring, of course. The ring, of
happily
course.
Happily married, I mean, man. Happily married
second
man.
Second row.
Uh-huh.
Yes. But
how come I didn't get any pictures of that?
I tried. Okay. Trust me. I would probably have gotten killed. So it was fun, though. My kid had a great time, and so thanks for the tickets, Dave. That was awesome.
Oh, no problem. I'm so glad you got to go. I mean, it was something I really wanted to do, but, you know, I have to get up at 4:15 the next day and wouldn't have got home till 1 o'clock in the morning myself. And I mean, I just hit the number 62, brother, and I'm an old dude, you know, so I just couldn't see myself doing it.
You're like a fine wine. You only get better with age, Dave.
Yeah, I'm getting like vinegar myself, you know. So.
Okay.
Good.
I saw an interesting thing on social media I want to talk to you about. Okay, are you ready?
I are ready.
Tell me if you're ready.
I are ready.
Okay. If my phone cuts out a little bit, hang on, because when I go around 9 Mile Reservoir, it's always a little bit of a dead spot. I'll be able to hear you. But you won't be able to hear me.
Okay.
So I'll hurry and ask the question so that Dave can talk.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, Stomping Grounds is coming up real quick. When Stomping Grounds?
This Sunday from Tacoma, Washington.
Sunday. And I saw a picture the other day on the social media. You know, since I'm such a big social media guy, you know, like 40,000 followers on Twitter and all that stuff. Anyways, no, I don't. It shows there were still hundreds of seats available for Stomping Grounds. And somebody had made the comparison of how WWE is having a couple tickets to Stomping Grounds, and AEW sells out All Out in 30 minutes.
Right.
So what's Dave's take on this situation?
Okay, AEW is on a high right now, okay? And I still think it's way too early for people to be saying the AEW is going to take over professional wrestling. I just don't think that's going to happen. And Dave Bautista, of all people, agrees with me on that particular issue. I think they can be a viable company. I think they can do fine, and they could make some inroads. But why is this Stomping Ground not selling out in Tacoma, Washington? And by the way, one of our Facebook followers, Zach James, a wrestler in the West, he's going to be there. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to hook up with him and talk to him about the event because he's also going to go to Monday Night Raw the next night. I think, you know, Tacoma, Washington, that's in the Seattle area. But it's not a huge population base, and people aren't excited right now about the WWE. You have so many events taking place, and so much entertainment money is out there, and people, they probably just have to decide what they can do, and it's summer, and sometimes summer you have other things that you'd rather do than be in an arena watching sweaty men in spandex. And I think that's part of the issue there. I think they'll do some. You remember they did something in Las Vegas a few years ago that at the last minute you were getting 2-for-1 seats for a Las Vegas event. and because it wasn't selling very well. But because you've got so many distractions during the summer, that's why most TV shows take a hiatus during the summer. There's very few programs that try to open up with a summer show because there's so many distractions during summer. And I think that's what's probably happening to the WWE stomping ground in Tacoma.
Taco Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tacos.
So, do you think it has anything to do with the WWE regurgitating the same gosh damn card over and over and over and over again?
Maybe so. Maybe so. The WWE is struggling right now. You know that, and I know that. They still have over a billion followers on social media. Their shows, even though they are declining in numbers, but the highlight shows on YouTube are still skyrocketing. I think there's so many people that are tired of the three-hour shows that they do, like you and sometimes me, go to YouTube or go find a source that has highlights from the Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. That's just a firm belief that I have, and I think you would agree with me.
I would agree with you, but how many times are we going to see Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre?
That's a good question. How many times are we going to see Seth against Baron Corbin until we have the guy, the Mr. Boring in the Bank, Brock Lesnar, show up and cash in the Money in the Bank? And is he going to be the special guest referee this Sunday? Just don't care.
You got guys like Elias out there.
Uh-huh.
Dolph Ziggler, Ricochet, Aleister Black.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you mean to tell me with a gosh damn room full of writers, we can't get those guys in a decent storyline and a decent feud and get some stir?
Well, Ricochet right now is going to be going for the U.S. title against Samoa Joe on
great.
Sunday. Yeah.
Does anybody care?
Well, I think it will be a fun match, but they
It'll
had
be a
no
great
time.
Match, but
they
but
didn't
Samoa
set it
Joe's,
up.
Samoa, yeah, and Samoa Joe's been pushed aside like a and used like a rag doll.
Uh huh.
Samoa Joe should have beaten Brock Lesnar.
Oh yeah.
Samoa Joe should have been the WWE heavyweight champion when he was on a high.
Uh-huh.
And the same with Braun Strowman. There was other things that missed opportunities. And Samoa Joe is a huge name and a huge draw. And he's got the U.S. title. Does anybody even care?
You make a good point.
Finn Balor's got the Intercontinental title. Whoop-de-doo. Like, those titles mean nothing right now. And it's sad.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. I mean, what a great champion Finn Balor should be. Now, you will be happy to know this, okay? Monday Night Raw, they had a bit backstage with the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, talking to one of the doctors. And they said he's very close to coming back from his injury. So at that point, here come the good brothers, you know, Gallows and Anderson, to talk to their friend Styles, who they were with the Bullet Club in Japan. And Michael Cole called them, they were in a club in Japan. But AJ was really just all over them about their losing streak. And it kind of insinuated maybe they are going to do something with the club once again, which I think would be an absolutely wonderful thing if they could get Finn Balor involved and have them all. And I'd like to see a heel change. I would love it.
Yeah. Dude, I'd love to see the Demon go bad. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be awesome. That happened on Monday Night Raw. But when it comes to the belts, you don't have what has as far as I'm concerned, what has really been occurring is the belts aren't that springboard anymore. Does the U.S. champion automatically become the first contender for the belt for the IC title? Why isn't the IC title automatically the first contender for one of the WWE heavyweight championships? They don't do that anymore. That doesn't make any sense.
And if the U.S. title's on SmackDown, that should be the stepping stone for the WWE title.
Exactly.
And if the IC title's on Raw, then that should be the stepping stone for the Universal title.
And another thing that they're doing that just doesn't make any sense is this wild card rule that they came up with.
It's always
the same people. Why don't they use it as storyline? Let somebody say, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to be the wild card, and he's backstage with one of the bookers. You know, maybe it's Michael Hayes backstage in the gorilla position. He comes off and he's just berating him. The cameras are following. You're going to get me on that wild card on Raw, and I'm going to take out, you know, somebody. That makes it storyline. And now what's happening is they're just showing up, you know. I mean, I think I saw somebody on Facebook said there was like 6 or 7 wild cards from SmackDown on Raw.
What's the point of the brand split then?
Exactly. That's what a lot of people are saying. If they would, the wild card rule would be fun if they made it into part of the storyline. They haven't figured that part out yet, and that frustrates you know what out of me, because if you did this right, you could make it part of a storyline. You could have people maybe going in front of a committee saying, I want this wild card spot on SmackDown, and then have them, you know, make their case to be the wild card. I think that could be so much fun. And but now they're just, they're here for the wild card rule. That it doesn't make any sense because they don't have the brand split. That's effectively what they're trying to say.
Dave, what are we going to do?
Well, we're going to praise the WWE one thing, okay?
Are we?
Yeah, the 24/7 title with R-Truth. Isn't that fun?
R-Truth is the only reason why it's fun.
Exactly, I think so too. How long will this last? That's the big thing.
R-Truth was in Salt Lake City.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, and he did a little backstage vignette with Carmella.
Uh-huh.
And had some beef jerky or something and was hiding out. And it was pretty funny. R-Truth comes running out to the ring and all these people follow him, you know, the B-team and a bunch of people are following him, and they run into the ring and they surround him, and he's like, stop. They're going to get ready to beat up on him. He's like, stop. He's like, I need a mic. And they hurry and hand him a mic. And he goes, you guys, hold up. They all stop. He goes, dance break. And does the splits. And they're all like, what the heck? And they start beating up on him. And he hurries and slips out from underneath of them and runs out. And then they end up beating up each other. And they're like, wait a minute, where did he go?
I'm enjoying, you know, when they first announced that, we were all kind of, but I think you and I had talked about if they wrote it correctly, if they made it fun, that it was, you know, it could be, and I think a lot of people are excited, you know, having fun with it. And then I'm going to praise the WWE again, although they're kind of spreading this out, the Firefly Funhouse with Bray Wyatt.
I thought Bray was going to be on Raw yesterday.
They had him as just another bit, their recorded bit, and it was fun, it was freaky, and let me just say it was kind of freaky. I'm wondering when they're going to bring him out. Maybe it's going to be in Tacoma, maybe it's going to be the Monday night after the Stomping Ground, but they need to do it soon before people lose interest in it.
A lot's going on though, a lot of good stuff. I mean Bray Wyatt, I don't know, you know, we complain a lot.
Uh-huh. But there's some good things out there.
There's some good stuff out there. Yeah. I mean, I just wish they would spend more time on talent that's not used. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Underused talent. And I think if they actually would have a mid-card writing team, maybe, You know, here's our mid-card guys. Let's do something with them, you know. Get some feuds going a little bit, tag team feuds or something.
And where's the women's tag titles?
On the Iconics. They just had a match on Raw.
Which I like the Iconics, but, you know.
That was the first time they've legitimately had a match for their tag titles. They took on Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, and Bayley had to interfere, of course. So, coming up, Turnbuckle Trash, it's Chris on the Mat all about that show, that waste of a show. Next on Turnbuckle Trash.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, @TurnbuckleTrash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at WPFpod@gmail.com. Again, that's WPFpod@gmail.com.
It's Chris on the Match.
I'm lost at words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
Chris. On the Mat.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
Once again, friends and neighbors, boys and girls, moms and dads, we are back with Turnbuckle Trash, and joining us from what part of Carolina?
We are in Winston-Salem, not too far away from Charlotte, and I'm talking about the Charlotte Flair that's going to be a 16-time champion here shortly.
Yeah,
we'll never know.
It's Chris on the Mat, Christopher Evans, and Chris, we have got a lot to talk about today. We had... possibly one of the worst pay-per-views of all time. It was bad. Saudi Arabia, Stomping Grounds. Let's get just an initial thought of yours.
Well, I will go back to the old Mr. Dave Meltzer and give it the stars that it deserves. I gave it a two star on the Turnbuckle Trash Facebook page. But now that I've gone back and looked at it again, I'm going to give it a -3 stars.
It just wasn't very good.
It was the most debacle, hemoglobin, take your blood pressure medicine pay-per-view that you could ever have seen. Why do this? Yes, you got a lot of money, Vince. You got a lot of money. But in the process, you pissed. Ticked off a lot of fans.
Well, thank you for that.
Sorry.
You came real close, but that's fine. Hey, that's fine.
Go
that's
ahead.
Fine.
Yeah, it isn't. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, you got to think about this in a way. I think I've put to you a couple of times and to Zane also. This Super Showdown show was not meant for the wrestling fans here in the United States. It was an added feature to the WWE Network last year, and they've signed. Well, I think it was a 5-year deal with Saudi Arabia to do 2 events a year there.
Oh yeah,
and it's a money grab. I mean, you got to know what it is. It is a money grab, and it's not meant to please us here in the United States or in North America, or even that wrestling guy in Australia. I don't think he liked it very much. It's meant to please the Saudis and that prince who's got. Excuse me, buttloads of money. That's who he is meant to please.
Well, they did it that way, but I mean, he wanted to see old wrestlers and he wanted to see, he wanted to see his kind of wrestling, which I mean, some people like to see a car wreck. I mean, if that's what he likes to do, that's great. I have a suggestion for him if he would like it. But I don't think it'll be popular on this network. I want to bring my inner Walter out right about now, but I can't do it. I don't know what it was. To me, it was a debacle. It was two old men. There was one match with two old men in the ring, and it was the biggest botchamania that I've ever watched. And I felt bad for both for both individuals. I mean, it was awful. Yeah, it was awful. I mean, it was pathetic. It was almost like watching an old rerun of MASH, and you know every line that's fixing to happen. You could say it by heart. You knew what they were fixing to do, except for that tombstone. Ooh.
Yeah, that was bad. We're talking about if I'm sure that most people that would be listening would know exactly what we're talking about, but Goldberg and The Undertaker. This was something that was signed a long time ago. We had thought the possibility of The Undertaker and Sting when it was first said that the Taker would be going to Saudi Arabia, but it turned out to be none other than Bill Goldberg. I don't know what exactly happened in the match. Goldberg says at one point he was knocked out. I just was reading this today. Now, Goldberg says he was knocked out. He didn't say when. A lot of people are speculating it was when he went into the corner post and he came up bleeding. That I don't think that's when it happened. Because if you watch the entrance of Goldberg, you saw there was a spot on his head. Now, that's not unusual for him because he usually bangs his head on a blocker or something to get himself psyched up.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's where that came from. I firmly believe he was knocked silly with the botched tombstone, and he is lucky to be able to walk today because of that botched tombstone.
And it's his fault. It wasn't the Undertaker's fault.
Tell me why.
Taker is a master at this tombstone. I mean, he's done it to Jim Cornette, Paul Bearer. He's done it to Vince McMahon. He's done this thousands upon thousands of times. He knows where that head has to go when they do the tombstone. Goldberg was not set up the correct way, and when Taker went down, Goldberg's neck went to the side.
Oh, it did.
You know, back in Memphis, when you saw a pile driver, and you're thinking, how can someone take something like that? The man's lucky to be alive, and the man's lucky he's walking, because that would have killed him.
Yeah, that neck really bent the wrong way, and I think that's where he was knocked silly. But I'm not going to place the blame completely on Goldberg on that one, because they're both huge men. I mean, you got to admit, these are two huge men. Yes. And Goldberg wasn't up high enough for The Undertaker. He was down at his knees, to be honest with you. Oh, yeah. I watched it over and over again. Mm-hmm. Maybe The Undertaker, and don't get me wrong, I'm not putting blame here. I think it was just an accident. But maybe The Undertaker should have known that Goldberg's head wasn't in the correct position and maybe not gone through with the move. That's where I think the big botch came up. And the rest of the, I mean, honestly, though, the whole match was slow. Even before that, there was a couple of spears, a couple of, clotheslines, but it wasn't very crisp at all, even from the beginning.
Well, didn't you expect that after the first spear and then Goldberg gets back up and Taker gets up again, you thought, oh, Lord, it's a squash match.
Uh-huh.
I thought that's what they were going to do. I thought, no, they're not going to do this to Taker. They can't. And then he hit him with that second spear. I said, yep, they're fixing to do it again. But, you know, Goldberg kind of screwed up too with his jackhammer.
Yeah, he did. He didn't get it. He didn't get it all, did he?
No, he didn't get him high enough. And that's where when Taker landed on top of his head.
Yeah.
Landed on his head. And that's when, now, if you have noticed at the end of the match, Taker had this look of, I am very pissed.
Yeah.
Very mad. And I don't know if it's speculation or not, but they said that there was a screaming match between Goldberg and The Undertaker. Who knows? We weren't there. But I thought it was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Well, it was.
It was worse than David Arquette winning the WCW title. I'll put it that way. So.
Oh, Vince Russo, you come back in this podcast all the time.
I can't help myself.
And by the way, David Arquette is going to be on TV Wrestling, I believe, this coming weekend. Championship Wrestling out of Hollywood is having their coast, I think it's the West Coast Clash. I can't remember exactly what they called the event. But professional Peter Avalon, who can go, and it's one of Zane's favorites, is taking on David Arquette.
Well, there went his career.
Anyway,
he'll be selling hot dogs in the stands next week. Yeah.
Oh, that was pretty bad. But anyway, I wanted to throw this in out at you, okay? I because I always do this with the Undertaker. Uh-huh. Undertaker match. The match itself was 8 minutes and 30 seconds. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. 8 minutes 30 seconds for the match itself. Goldberg's entrance from the time they started the music till he got into the ring, 4 minutes, 19 seconds.
Wow.
And then you take the Undertaker as he comes in, and the music starts, and then he stops at 6:03, minutes, 3 seconds for the combined total of over 10 minutes. For this particular entrance between the two. The match itself, 8 minutes and 30 seconds of debauchery. It was bad.
Well, that's just 8 minutes and 30-something seconds of your life that you'll never get back.
Well, I got to go to the restroom, got some snacks. You know.
Well, at least you had the snacks.
I had the snacks, yeah.
Well, the snacks are the best part.
That's it.
So. And that's probably the best part of the whole dang match there ever was. I mean, Hot Pockets and string cheese. There you go. No.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say anymore about the match. It was bad. I mean, it didn't do anything for ratings. It didn't do anything for the WWE. And it didn't do anything for the other two retirees' career.
Yeah.
It just made them a joke.
You know, I read that once as... You know, you've got two great careers. Goldberg was never a wrestler. I mean, he was a brawler. He was the muscle. He was the guy that came out, did a couple of spears. He would pick you up, put in that jackhammer, and it was over with, okay?
Yep.
No one ever said that Goldberg was a great wrestler. A great performer, yes. You can say Undertaker, great performer, great wrestler, great entertainer, okay?
Of course.
You can say that. But now what does this do for them in the future? Goldberg has apologized to his fans. And Bill actually has taken his check. And he's not taking the check. He's donating his entire check to charity. Because he felt so bad about his performance at that event.
Mm-hmm.
Take your hat off for that. But what does it do in the future? Do we ever see Bill Goldberg again? I don't think so. I don't think it's ever going to come back.
No, I don't think we'll ever see Bill ever again. I believe that after this match, he's going to hang it up for good because he just didn't go. I mean, it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't exciting. The match was so boring, you could have taken a sleeping pill and had more excitement with your dreams than you could with this match. So, no, I mean, it didn't do anything for anybody. It didn't do anything for the WWE. Didn't do anything for the fans. And what's the first thing the fans did? They rejected it. Yeah. They hated it. So, no.
Yeah, and as a fan, I'm going to have to agree with, you know, I try not to get too critical. I really do. I try not to get too critical, but this was very poorly planned out. I don't know if the heat had something to do with it because you had in-ring temperatures of 90 to 95 degrees. That was in-ring, and you know it had to be humid. Then you got all the travel, so maybe they were just a little bit off. But I'm going to ask you, Chris, we've talked about what it does to Bill Goldberg, but does this tarnish the image of Undertaker?
Yes. It tarnished the image of the Undertaker because we all know that Taker was this in-ring general and he could make a match perfect. I mean, it didn't matter whether he had Elegante or it was Jimmy Superfly Snuka. But now that he's had this match with Goldberg, this has tainted his career because this was the worst match that Mark Calaway has ever done. I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was the worst match I've ever seen.
Wow.
Old Texas Red has finally run off road into the sunset.
Yeah.
So,
you think we'll see Undertaker again?
No. No.
I'll disagree.
You'll disagree.
I'll disagree. Yeah.
You think we'll see him again?
In some capacity. You know, okay. I think that Mark is a proud man, and he'll want to not go out that way. And Goldberg might be that way too, but it seems to me that Bill is taking more of the blame for what happened than the Undertaker. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, he's a bigger man to do it. Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised to see Taker come back at least one more time in one capacity or another. I just don't know. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just making a little speculation there. So
yeah, got you.
Okay. Well, let's go a little bit more about this this debacle in Saudi Arabia. Oh man, a lot of people were talking poorly about it because the Saudi government and the culture there would not allow any of the female performers to wrestle, and they caught a lot of flack for that. They did have Renee was there, Natalie was there, but they could not do a match. So is that something we as a culture here in the United States should be concerned about? To be honest with you, a completely different culture, a different part of the world, and it wasn't that they were going to, string them up if they did do that, but their culture, their religion, the main dominant religion there, said no. And is that wrong for us to criticize too harshly that particular thing?
That is a double-edged sword.
It is.
It's a double-edged sword in a way that, look, in the crowd, there were women in that crowd that were dressed just like Sasha Banks, and there was women in there that was in the front row, which they do not allow.
Right.
And there was girls there, but they were dressed like an American female would, scantily clad. Some of them were. Now, the rest of them, you couldn't see them. It was like seeing Casper the Friendly Ghost.
I did notice something very funny. I think it was in the 50-man over-the-top Battle Royale. When Mansoor, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit, but when Mansoor won, there was a lot of people in the first couple rows that were excited, and good for them. You know, a countryman was out there and won. And then there was this one guy jumping up and down, and he had a woman next to him that was in traditional Saudi Arabia dress. I mean, she had, I don't know what the technical term is, and forgive me, I'm not trying to be disrespectful by any means, but it was like the scarf that was wrapped around her head, and his head, as he was jumping around, his hand accidentally grabbed this scarf, and he almost choked this woman from his joy. And he was I laughed out loud, and I probably shouldn't have. And no, really, it wasn't disrespectful, but I just thought it was funny. Funny to me, anyway.
It was hilarious. I mean, but look, everyone has their own religion, their own belief, and their culture, their religion says that women are supposed to be covered and they are not supposed to be seen, and they treat them like dogs. And that's in the good old United States of America, we treat our women with respect. The Southerners treat our women with respect. That's how we were raised. But these guys, I don't know. And like I said, it's a double-edged sword. It's very hard. It's very touchy to say. I didn't like it. I thought it was a bunch of BS, to be honest with you, for them going over there. And then they decide, hey, guess what? You're not going to have a match.
Yeah.
Then why did you bring us?
Yeah.
Why did you bring them here?
Well, so, I bet the WWE was hoping they could talk them into it, but it didn't happen. So
no, they never did. No.
And then, of course, you had Finn Balor, who made his own little protest. He was taken. They had a picture of him taken on that entrance ramp before everything happened, where he was wearing a LGBT transgender T-shirt. And a lot of people in Saudi Arabia were upset about that. He has every right to protest. I'm just wondering if that was the time and place, because he literally could have been in massive trouble in that country if the Saudis would have wanted to have it happen.
They would have strung him up. Look, I've got nothing to say about the LGBT community. I do have my beliefs. That's fine. But for Finn Balor to do what he did, that took a lot of guts. You're over in another country. You're supposed to respect their ways, not do this. But, hey, more power to you, because the Demon King, you just are about to become a demon.
Yeah.
And no king, because they would have killed you.
Yeah.
And they'd have done it in a heartbeat.
Yeah. That, you know, that's such a shame that we have to think about that kind of thing.
Isn't it?
That is just an absolute shame. Let's move on from that terrible match to some not so terrible. Not so terrible. Dolph Ziggler and Kofi Kingston was actually a fun match to watch.
Yes, it was. I was hoping for a different outcome, though.
You were wanting Dolph?
Yes. I wanted Dolph.
Dolph.
Because his character was, after he attacked him on SmackDown, he cut that promo, and he had the tears in his eyes. I thought, okay, they're bringing out the psychotic Dolph.
I love it.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah.
It was good to see. I was hoping for Dolph to win, but maybe the cage match.
Yeah, they're going to do a cage match at Stomping Ground coming up on the 23rd. And last night, now we're recording this on Wednesday, was the return of Big E in-ring performance for the New Day. And a lot of people were speculating that Big E was going to turn heel during this match. It was all over social media. But he didn't. He was still Big E.
I don't know if he'll turn. I don't know if they're going to actually do that or not. I mean, what's it going to do for Big E? I mean, okay, you turn heel. Are they going to let you hold that title? Which you deserve it. I wouldn't mind seeing him as world champion.
Yeah.
But he's not somebody that they're going to put on the mainstream and go, Big E versus, oh, let's see, who can we put him in the ring with? How about Lars Sullivan?
Yeah, it doesn't have that same ring. Yeah.
Or your favorite person in the whole wide world. So.
Who's that?
You never know.
Who's that?
Well, the snooze fest. So, Mr. Brock Lesnar.
Oh.
Put him in a tie and a suit and make him sell car insurance, please. Do something with him.
Oh, that match with Seth and Baron Corbin was a fine match. I enjoyed that match.
Yes.
And you know what? I'm going to say it right now. A lot of people are going to be upset with me when I say this. Mm-hmm. I would much rather see Baron Corbin. Much rather see Baron Corbin than Brock Lesnar. I don't like Brock's stick. I don't like what's going on. I don't like the storyline. I don't like watching him in the ring. But I never have. I can honestly say I have never been a Brock Lesnar fan. It's not something that I'm saying just now because I don't like his character. I just never have been a Brock Lesnar fan. The match itself with Baron Corbin was a fine match. He got involved with the referee. The referee pushed him, and then Seth won, and then he gets the end of days, and then here comes Brock out. I did like the fact that Paul Heyman tripped, and that made the Money in the Bank cash-in not happen, and Seth got to get that low blow, kick him right in the gabonza beans. Yes, he got to kick him really hard.
I kicked him as hard as I could in his testicles.
And then beat him with the chair. That's called storytelling. You know, I like that at end of it. So.
Well, I mean, it was both stories because Brock did the same thing to him on Raw, and that was a heck of a beating that Seth took. And then the storyline was Seth has got a ruptured spleen or something like that. Yeah, it was a good story, but I mean, we all knew that Brock was going to cash in on somebody, and then the old storyline again. He actually didn't cash in.
No, he didn't.
Who's he going to do it to this time? Why don't you just cash in the 24/7 title?
Or as I like to say, dum-dee-dum-dum-dum.
Yep, it is.
Hey,
dum-da-dum-dum.